Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Escape the Ordinary with Green and Black's Organic Chocolate, sponsor of the Women's Podcast. A rich, intense chocolate to savour. You're listening to the Irish Times Women's Podcast. I'm Roisin Ingle. There have now been more than 400 deaths from COVID-19 and over 12,000 cases of the virus in this country. To keep up to date with this constantly changing situation, listen to Confronting Corona, the Irish Times podcast hosted by Deirdre Valden on irishtimes.com and wherever you find your podcasts. This episode is the live recording taken from the first ever Zoom event for the Women's Podcast. Last Saturday night, Marion Keyes joined me and a whole host of podcast listeners on Zoom for a virtual get-together. In this conversation, Marion spoke about lockdown life and her continued obsession with cosmetics, which hasn't gone away in the pandemic, and about cooking proper fancy dinners out of a book, how it helps keep her mind off things. There's also some great listener questions at the end of the discussion. Check out at IT Women's Podcast on Twitter or Facebook for information on any upcoming live events. And speaking of listeners, we want to bring you a couple of really nice emails we've got in. We're really grateful to you for sending them into the Women's Podcast at irishtimes.com. And do keep letting us know what you'd like us to cover during this time, because you've come up with some great ideas and you've really informed what we've been talking about here. The first email is from Margaret Silva. She says, "Your podcast exposes issues and topics that we need to hear about. Please keep up the great work. Your podcast makes my gratitude list. Stay safe and take care." That's really nice, Margaret. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And also a great email from April, who says, "I listened to the most recent podcast and I really felt for you when you got upset about missing your mum. It's great that you were so real in the podcast. It allows others to feel those hard feelings and normalizes them. So thank you. And the podcast is brilliant now more than ever. I look forward to listening with three small kids at home. It is my sanctuary." Oh, April, I really appreciate that. And I did wonder whether to keep in the bit in the last episode where I broke down, I suppose, into tears when I was talking to my mum. But then when I was going through it afterwards, I just thought, well, I'm not the only one having these moments. And I think we're all starting to feel a bit of what you could call pandemic fatigue, or as I talked about it in my column on Wednesday, lockdown lethargy, where we know what we have to do and we're going to keep doing it, but it's getting a little bit harder. And especially, as you say, if you've got small kids at home, or if you're just worrying about your relatives who are cocooning, there's all sorts of reasons. And I don't think anybody should judge anybody else for how they're feeling during this. We just need to be there for each other and understand that it affects people in so many different ways. And I hope that on this podcast, you're getting a sense of that, but also that you're getting some lightness, because we are trying to bring you up a bit on this podcast and to sort of make you laugh, which I hope this episode will do. And before we get to the main episode proper, I just wanted to bring you something uplifting from Forbes magazine, which had an article this week about how women leaders around the world are performing brilliantly in this crisis, from Angela Merkel in Germany to Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand. And Forbes magazine says, "Looking for examples of true leadership in a crisis? From Iceland to Taiwan and from Germany to New Zealand, women are stepping up to show the world how to manage a messy patch for our human family. Add in Finland, Iceland and Denmark, and this pandemic is revealing that women have what it takes when the heat rises in our houses of state." And they end with a great paragraph which says, "There have been many years of research timidly suggesting that women's leadership styles might be different and beneficial. Instead, too many political organisations and companies are still working to get women to behave more like men if they want to lead or succeed. Yet these national leaders around the world are case study sightings of the 7 leadership traits men may want to learn from women. It's time we recognised it and elected more of it. So there you go, Forbes magazine giving the thumbs up to all those excellent women around the world who are just handling this crisis so well for their respective countries. Now, back to today. She's wise, she's wonderful, and she has been a truly great friend to this podcast since the very beginning. I'm delighted to say our first public event on Zoom was a huge success, thanks to the fantastic Marion Keyes. She had some great advice for life in lockdown, but we also just had the crack. Thanks to everyone who joined us for our big Saturday night in, sponsored by Green and Blacks. And do stay tuned for more events that we'll be running over the next few weeks. Until then, she sold more than 35 million books, including her latest number one bestseller, Grown Ups. Here she is, the one and the only Marion Keyes.
I suppose the first thing is, and I think it's really important to say that we're all coping with this in different ways. And some of us are finding that we're coping with this isolation and the restrictions, the fact that we're looking at the death toll rising, the people who are sick, the people working in hospitals, and then dealing with our own circumstances, whether it's being separated from people we're close to or financially struggling or losing our jobs. There's so many layers and levels to this that it's quite overwhelming. And some people are finding that they're coping very well, and some people are finding that they're not coping. And that's okay. And there's also a lot of people seem to be doing a lot of writing books and learning flower arranging and becoming experts in, origami. I saw some embroidery going on. I mean, I'm not doing that, but you know, there's a lot of different things happening for people. So how's your lockdown going, Marion?
I suppose it's different day to day. A lot of the time I kind of flow through the days. It's like, I've kind of shut down an awful lot of myself in order to survive. And I do almost nothing. Like, I think about food an awful lot. And I think about sleeping an awful lot. My sort of cognitive brain doesn't really work, you know, and my imagination isn't really showing up either. It's just like kind of shutting down all the extra parts of me, and it's kind of been reduced to the basics. Today I'm really tired, and actually that's kind of characterized an awful lot of this for me. And it's because I was reading about it, because we're all in a state of hypervigilance. You know, we're all really alert to danger at the moment, and we're in fight or flight mode. And, you know, that kind of constant surveillance is exhausting. Like, you know, we're so careful not to touch people and not to get too close to people. And, you know, even if we're on our own in the house, we're aware. Well, I suppose I am aware of all the danger. So, yeah, because this has been very sudden. Like, it came out of a clear blue sky. And this kind of huge fear and this big change to our circumstances has landed on us suddenly. And I can only speak for myself, really, but I'm on this kind of, you know, severe learning curve to try and adapt. And that's tiring. So I'm tired today, and I was sad today as well. And the sadness comes and goes. The sadness is mostly about, you know, last time. I think the change in the weather has made me sad. It's like, it's lovely, it's sunny, it's Easter. And I suppose I'm missing all those kind of opportunities to see like my nieces and nephews, and you know, the connections, you know, because the things that really make me happy are the people I love, spending time with them. And when that's taken away, there's a big loss for me. So that's kind of how I am today. But basically I am fine in that, like, I absolutely accept that this is the way it must be. Like, I have no intention of kind of doing a sneaky back road, middle of the night dash to the hinge or anything like that. I really, really feel kind of a sense of connectedness with everybody, like that we're all in this together. And, you know, and I feel a sense of responsibility and a duty to everyone else in the country. And I know that that's reciprocated. So, Yeah, that's kind of how I am. You know, I accept that life, I mean, I never thought we'd be going back to normal on Monday. I knew that it was going to be a much longer transition. So basically, I'm grand. I'm grand, but tired and perpetually hungry.
Someone just put on the text there, the loss of things, you know, when things are taken away from you, has it heightened? I think for a lot of us, we've got a jar here. It's an empty gherkins jar. And we've started putting things in it that we want to do when this is all over. And it's been really helpful. So there's a certain, and one of them actually is swimming in the sea in Lahinch, Marion. And I think it's just like, doesn't it heighten that awareness of how we things we took for granted, you know?
Oh, we were so lucky, weren't we? We were so lucky before this. And, you know, for most of the time, normality is kind of regarded as barely adequate. But normality is actually fabulous. You know, like, we all have, like, small pains or small, like, worries, you know, in a particular day. But, like, to have your freedom, like, to walk down the street and to go wherever you want and to hug people and to have close-up conversations and stuff. And as you say, like, to go swimming and to do these things where there are lots of other people, like, to go walking in Wicklow. Those are normal things. And, yeah, most of us, we didn't know how lucky we are. And I really hope when this is over that we'll be swaggering around going, Jesus Christ, life is amazing. I'm sure we will for a while.
For a while, exactly. Do you feel the pressure because, you know, you give so much of us joy, whether it's your books. You do, though, and that sort of national treasure phrase is very overused.
No, like, seriously, you know, for anyone who likes me, there's about 20 people who hate me. But go on anyway.
Well, okay, let me continue. Yeah. So, as well as national treasure, you're also a bit of a national court jester. Like, you do bring us up. You're on Twitter. You make us laugh about your family, about, you know, old woman who we're going to definitely talk about. Do you feel a pressure now when you're feeling tired and you're feeling sad and you're not in that mode that, you know, people expect you to be? Is that something you've been struggling with?
Not exactly, no. I mean, I sort of feel very safe here, you know, and there's, you know, it's a small number, you know, and I feel like I can be honest and I can say exactly how I am feeling, which is tired and sad, really. You know, it's funny, though. I mean, I've been, and this sounds boasty and I really don't mean it to be, I've been swamped with requests to write things, to be on podcasts, to do radio shows, you know, to do Facebook Live things, to do Instagram Live. And the thing that broke the camel's back was last night. An email arrived from a newspaper, published one, saying, would Marion like to write an article about gardening and about the love of sitting in gardens? And I just, like, I am not a gardener. I am not a garden person. Like, I hate the out there. Like, I mean, like, I even hate opening a window. I feel really nervous when the window is open, like, even at the height of summer. And I was like, Jesus Christ, do they know nothing about me? Why would the likes of me, like, be writing about gardening? So, I mean, but that was just me being entirely unreasonable. No, most of the time, I don't, well, no, not the thing to be the court jester exactly. But yeah, I suppose because at this stage I know what I can and can't do. And there isn't any point pretending to be something that I'm not because I'll only pay the price. And I think people know when you're putting it on. So no, really, I suppose no, but I will not be writing the article about the gardens.
I did some gardening. I think my friends are going to stage an intervention. No, but I mean, exactly. What has become of me? Honestly, begonias and gladioli. I was putting in the ground there. I don't even have a garden. I'm going to give you a show of it. Like, it's a yard. Can you see that?
It's beautiful.
And it only looks like that because I had a friend come around and put some things in the right places. I don't have a clue. So tell us about Old Woman, because she's cocooning and many of us have, you know, I think that's been very sad. I wrote a letter in the Irish Times today. We had some lockdown letters and I wrote a letter to my sister, Katie, because my mum lives with her and she has three small children, her and her husband, and they've all made a decision not to go out at all during this time. So I don't know how she's doing it, like with three small kids not leaving the house, because they didn't want to be in a position where they're bringing stuff back into the house and making sure they protect my mom at all costs.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to her. And I think there's stories like that, and everybody here has different stories around it. And you're the main person going to see your mom, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So she lives on her own now. And I have to organise her shopping through Super Value. And for any of you who have any deals with Super Value, the delivery slots are like gold dust. I mean, you could be selling them on the black market for like billions. And so she gave me her shopping list the first week. And I kept saying to her, now look at mom, we've no idea like what's going to be on the shelf when the man comes to put it in your basket. And she was like, sure, I know. And then like the first delivery arrived and she took the head off me because her 7-Up arrived and it was not the normal 7-Up. It was the mojito flavored 7-Up. Now, I love the mojito one and it's actually quite rare. Like, I actually travel to find it. Like, it's a real treat for me. And like, she was in a fury about it. Like, how could they bring this horrible thing to her house when she wanted the normal stuff? And what kind of idiots were they? And then it wasn't what kind of idiots were they. It was like, what kind of idiot was I for ordering it? And I was like, but I didn't order it. They mustn't have had. So what else? Oh yeah. An apple tart came that day and she went bananas as well because she'd asked for a lemon cheesecake. Then this week when it arrived, the box.
Can I say that is a weird substitution for an apple tart, a lemon cheesecake.
Home bakery. And like they were thinking, well, it's round and it's, you know, it serves like six people. And it's got a fruit in it and it's two layers. So I think it must have been that. But yeah, then she ate the head off me because the tissues that came were in a square box, in a cube. And she likes the long tissues. And how could they be so stupid? Why would anyone want... You see, the things I actually did pick out the cubed tissues because I like the cubed ones because they take up less room on your dressing table and then you have more room for the rest of the stuff. Then the worst bit was she'd order sausages and they sent cocktail sausages. And she goes, do they think I was having a party? Like, she was enraged. And I kept saying, it's the substitution. It's the substitution. They must have run out. You see, and I just live my life seeking her approval. And she's never going to give it to me. Like, you know, I'm 56 and the head part of me accepts that she's never going to give it to me. But the kind of the more raw emotional me just can't help it. Can't, you know, keeps going back saying, say good girl, Marion, but she won't.
Well, that's not never been her way, has it?
It hasn't. It so hasn't.
And even with the last book, because I mean, with Grown Ups has done so well, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. It's been lovely. Yeah, it really has. Like, people have been so nice to me and the reviews were lovely. And so many people have contacted me and said that it has been an escape for them, you know, through all of this. And it has just been incredibly rewarding and heartwarming. You know, it has been a really wonderful experience. So, like, thanks to everyone who bought it and who said nice things about it. Like, I really am so grateful.
Now, for anyone who hasn't bought it or read it yet, just give us a look, because it's actually the first scene. I think it's in Easter, isn't it? It's like in a big hotel, yes. A big family event.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking when you were talking about Easter Lady, because you always go away with your family, don't you? And all the red sores.
Yeah. 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 We have gone to the Hotel Europe in Kerry for like, I don't know, 4 out of the last 6 years. And yeah, and we were booked to go this year.
Wow.
And yeah. And poor Oscar. Oscar is one of my nephews. He's 9. And a couple of weeks ago, his dad said to him, looks like we're going to be having a quiet Easter, boys. And Oscar goes, you might be, but I'm going to the Hotel Europe in Kerry. And then they had to break it to him. And like, he hasn't been right since. Like, he took it really bad. And then my mother, and maybe she has a point, says that I have ruined them children, that I have given them notions and expectations and that they would be unbearable, entitled brats in later life. But you're feckish, I enjoy it, you know. So yeah, the book, the first, they all go away as a family in the book, the Casey family. And yeah, the first chaptery bit, it's a long bit, they all go to a hotel in Kerry by Loch Lane. So I never actually mentioned the Hotel Europe by name, but yeah, it is entirely based. It is the Hotel Europe.
And I mean, the whole point of grown-ups is that there's various grown-ups in the book who are not behaving very well or they're having troubles. And it's that idea that we just never get to that point where we've achieved all those things we thought we'd achieve and we're the people that we thought we'd be. And we're now doing yoga and gardening, which I happen to be doing. Which I don't know. That's only because of the pandemic. Normal service.
Exactly. The garden will disappear.
But you know the way, I think a lot of us relate to that. Like, we thought we'd be much more together and actually.
Yeah. And not even just in a kind of a lifestyle, that awful word way, but like in terms of our emotions. Yeah. You know, I really thought like by this age, I would not still be seeking the approval of my mother. And it just continually amazes me how, you know, people evolve in some ways and then stay stuck in others. In the book, like most of them are wondering why they feel like they're failing, you know, why they aren't like those kind of imaginary grown-ups that we all kind of want to be or would like to resemble. And I think that the sooner the whole myth of being an adult just is taken down, it's better for all of us.
Somebody actually, Jen Hogan, who, as I said to you, has 2,000,003 children. I know she doesn't. She's got like 8. I think it's 8, Jen. I probably got it wrong, but it's definitely a lot. Jen just said about the complexity between mother and daughter relationships, just going back to what you were saying about your mum. That's like, it's so true that it it's cast a certain way and it's hard to move out of that, isn't it? The stereotype of what we're used to with our mothers.
How do you mean, like, with everybody?
I mean, just, like, you know the way you said that you wanted your mum's approval and have done for a long time? Like, it doesn't matter how old you get or that dynamic, do you know?
And that dynamic stays rigid. It does, yeah. Like, well, it has for me anyway. You know, I don't think I'll ever get to an age where she suddenly go, oh, all right, I approve of you now. Good girl, it took a while. But, that it's always going to be that way. And that other people have different relationships. You know, when people say that their mother is their best friend, you know, like you get on fabulous with your mother. Yeah.
No, I do. Like, I would say she's my friend. I do really miss her. Like, I talk to her a lot on the WhatsApp, but I had a very interesting experience. I was doing a books podcast with her because in true Irish nepotistic style, obviously my mother is in the book, the Women's Podcast Book Club. And I was doing that splash. We got everyone to do their lockdown reads, which is available on Monday for anyone who wants to listen to the podcast. And in the middle of that conversation, so I'm in my bedroom with my microphone and all of that, and I'm on the phone to my mum, but like, it's grand. And suddenly just talking to her, we were actually talking about Nina Stibbe. That was it, Mariam. I don't know if any of you have read her, but if you want to laugh at the moment, Nina Stibbe is just a wonderful writer, like, you know, along the lines of you, Marion, as well, as you know, she's got a book called Reasons to Be Cheerful. Anyway, she's hilarious, isn't she, Marion?
But she's great.
We were just talking about her and we were having one of those conversations that I just love my mother for, because we were just having the crack. And I just, in the middle of the podcast, I just started crying. Like, I just got really, I haven't cried about anything yet, really. And I just really miss her, you know, and it really kind of came up to me. And I think that's what you were saying earlier about the sadness. It kind of, you get these grief attacks in different ways, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I really miss her, you know?
Yeah, of course you do, because you're very, very close.
Yeah.
I miss Hannah.
Tell us about Hannah. That must be awful. I saw an amazing picture of her. So tell everyone about baby Hannah for people who don't know.
Baby Hannah is my brother's Tig's daughter, and she's, hang on till I see, she was 2 in August, so that makes her about 2 and 7 months. And she has Down syndrome, which is neither here nor there. She is just the most amazing person ever. She is just mad for the crack. Like, she's in the thick of any rowdiness always. And the thing that she really loves is when we sing happy birthday, because whenever a Keys has a birthday, and because there are a lot of us, we have a lot of birthdays, we go to Mama's house and we sing happy birthday, and then we blow out the candles, and the person blows out the candles, and then we sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, and we bang and shout and, you know, bang the table and everything. And Hannah adores this because, like, she loves rowdiness, do you know? And so now on Zoom, we've been singing happy birthday and for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, just so we can see Hannah get all excited. She's just, she's just joyous and full of love and blows kisses, and she's just gorgeous in every single way. And she's very unusual for a child in that she's completely people-centric. You know, like, she's great on eye contact, like, and she's great on sort of what's going on, lads, you know. And she's no real interest in other children. It's like, you know, where's the party? Where's the crack? Yeah, I miss her. I just want to give her a ginormous squeeze, such a squash. I really do. She's just fantastic.
Well, listen, we also have to talk about hair, okay? Because I know all of you, I'm saying without exception, have been thinking things about their hair. Myself, this hair, which someone complimented earlier, thank you very much, Olivia, really appreciate it. This hair was brought to you today by this tiny bit of this that I have left, which is this grey covering spray called Magic Retouch. And I just wish I'd stocked up on this before, if I'd been really clever, but I have a little bit left, and I used it today just to, you know, because I haven't run that much of grey. Can we talk about hair and how your hair is getting on in this? It looks very well, Marion.
God, your son. Well, the thing is, I cut my fringe, and it is diagonal. Like, this bit keeps leaping up, but I dyed it, and it was incredibly successful. And you know the way they say, like, necessity is the mother of invention. This is actually true in the case of hair, because, like, whenever I, like, in the before times, whenever I had to do anything publicly, I couldn't contemplate it without getting my hair blow dried. Like, I felt so raw and ridiculous with my own hair that I needed glossy, swishy, fabulous hair. And I've been doing it myself, and it has actually been quite rewarding. The Babyliss Big Hair Dryer is, yes, I swear to God, it is the only hair invention, in my opinion, that has ever worked. Like, the straighteners burnt my hand and, like, cooked my hair. Then that feckin' secret curl thing, I got my hair caught in it. And, like, I was going around with, like, the thing hanging off me. I was afraid I was going to have to cut a huge hank of hair out. Yeah, I've tried various other things, but the Babyliss Big Hair is an utter godsend. And there is a quiet pride now in that I am capable of doing my own hair. And I don't know whether it's my standards have slipped or not in the last 4 weeks, but, like, I think apart from the gammy fringe, that it is acceptable.
Very good, Marion. Very good.
Maybe just our idea of what is acceptable has changed, because, you know, it's like we're in wartime now, and you know, please forgive me, that was a crass remark. I don't mean it. But, you know, circumstances are not normal. So, yeah, the hair has been quite a revelation. That's one good thing that has come out of it for me, anyway. I am freed from the shackles of the blow dry.
Well, that's amazing, because we were all captive to that. Actually, Lisa just said that she was planning on straightening her hair while doing this, and then she realised, like, everyone would see her too. But I think we're all having different hair issues. And I'm really impressed that you used a box dye job and it was successful. Because I'd be terrified.
I used to do it in the olden days. And it was a lot harder then. I don't know if they've got better. But, like, the brand I used was Josh Woods Hair or something like that. Now, I knew nothing about him beforehand, or him or whatever, but everyone, you know, all them girls on the Instagrams were saying, oh, he's great and all. And actually, it was really good. And you get all kinds of lovely things, like, you get gloves, you get latex gloves, and then you get, like, this cream to put all along here so that you don't get, like, the dye down onto your forehead and along your face and all. And then you get a lovely wipe in case you do get the things on your face and wipe off. Yeah. So I thought it was great. I'm a pay of nobody now. I'm not saying it because I've been given free yolks or anything. Like, I paid like everyone else.
Valerie says that the Josh Wood touch-up is very good from Boots. See, I'd just be embarrassed going into Boots to get that grey roots thing, like, and nothing else. So I'd have to have loads of other medicine-y things.
Oh.
Like, actually, it's really another thing on our podcast on Monday is that the sale of sex toys and all of those things, lubricants, has really gone through the roof. Take of that what you will, Marion.
Fair play. Look Absolutely. We have to make our own entertainment now.
We do. Now, the other thing we have to talk about, which again, we're not equating with anything particularly important, because obviously there's lots of things going on at the moment, but you did something on Instagram which went down very well, and it was a Foundation Olympics where you pitted all these foundations against each other. So tell us about that and the joy it brought to people, because people loved it.
Yeah, it just because I can't do anything productive at the moment. And one of the things about this strange time is that I am absolutely obsessed with cosmetics and skincare and face masks and beautifying, which is kind of weird because nobody can see me except from all the Zoom things. And I was awake in the middle of the night because my sleeping is gone to hell as well. And I don't know, I had bought a couple of foundations in the couple of days before the shutdown. But I was just thinking, I wonder which one is better. And it was just one of those moments of genius. So I thought, I'd do the World Cup of foundations, but I needed 8. And as it happened, I had 9, but one of them was a really old one, the Chanel one. And it did consider coming out of retirement for one last job, but then we decided against it. And it was such fun, because on one half of my face, I do the NARS something or other. And then on another, the other half, I do the Fenty. And then people would vote. And so I did 4 quarterfinals, 2 semifinals, and then the grand final.
Very good. And which one won? Tell us the results.
The Estee Lauder Futurist Hydra Rescue won, but it was tight. It just beat the Fenty, the Hydrating Fenty Pro Filter. They're both lovely foundations. I love them both. I mean, I love them all. Like, I wish I had about 8 faces so that I could just put on different foundation on all of them every morning.
But like, this is the first time I've put makeup on. Like, I mean, I sometimes put some red lipstick on for some of my little friends Zoom things just to make myself feel a bit better. But you know what happened to me before? Do you want to hear my sad foundation story?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not pandemic, you know, sad. It's just ordinary level sad. I had my lovely bottle of Armani foundation. I can't even remember what it's called because I'm really crap with the names. You probably know. You know the nice one, the sort of luminous one,
yeah.
Marion?
Yes, yeah.
Armani Luminous or something like that. I don't know. And I had it at the bottom of my rucksack because I don't take care of anything. And, of course, I slammed the rucksack down and the thing smashed into smithereens in my rucksack. So everything in the rucksack got covered.
Yeah.
And then I remembered that when I was buying it, the lady had given me this much.
Yes, I got given one. I got given a little sample bottle as well.
So this is what I have left. And like I've just a little bit of it left. So that's my sad foundation story.
But it's not entirely sad. Do you see?
No, it's a good news story.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But people really, I think people do want to talk about normal things as well, because I mean, I relate to what you're saying about the sleep. I'm finding it difficult. And what I'm doing is I have my earphones on and my Bluetooth earphones, and I'm just listening to BBC World Service. And I'm literally falling asleep eventually with that in my ear, which isn't as terrible as it sounds, because it's not just all about COVID, but it's also very interesting documentaries and things. So I think everyone's finding their different ways.
Yeah.
It's kind of comforting. I just like those English voices or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm listening to audiobooks. Which is lovely.
And are you getting up every morning putting a full face of makeup on then as well?
No, I'm not putting the full face of makeup on. But if I'm doing a Zoomy thing, I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, like, I've been abnormally busy. But I've enjoyed putting the makeup on. Like, in the before times, it was such a treat to get through a day without having to kind of put stuff on, because it was such a delight to get to the evening and have nothing to take off. I am enjoying it now, you know, and I'm taking far more effort with it. It's very odd. You know, and another thing I'm doing is I'm cooking an awful lot. Like,
are you?
Yeah, dinners, like proper dinners out of a book. Like with recipes.
What are you making?
A lot of Nigel Slater, like lovely things. Things with aubergines and pomegranates and fancy things, you know, fancy things that require effort and concentration. And that I find helps kind of, well, I mean, all I think about is food anyway, and it's just nice to look forward to a nice dinner.
Yeah.
keep blown. Like,
do you know what the thing is? I'm finding, and my friend Catherine, who used to, she was the restaurant critic, and she is not doing that anymore because there's no restaurants. But we were talking about how you can do things now that take a bit of time. So, like, you can just decide you're going to caramelize some onions, but like, you can like spend, I don't know, an hour, you can make them last very long, and then suddenly the house smells of all these beautiful caramelized onions or soups. So I'm making a lot of soup. Like, I'm just making, well, the girls made it, sweet potato and chorizo soup, and it's definitely that comfort factor, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, that is such a true thing. But there is time, you know, because before it was like, Jesus Christ, there's too many things to do and there's so little time, and let's just do the easiest version of anything. And yeah, I think you can fiddle around with aubergines for 45 minutes, you know, like, and that would have seemed like far too much time before. So, yeah.
And you know the way you wrote Saved by Cake when you were in a particularly tough time of your life? And then when you did that, it was one of your vagaries or vagaries or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And then once you'd kind of got the bacon out of your system, it was gone. Are you going back to that at all in this?
I got the urge. But I haven't acted on it, as they say. I had given away an awful lot of my tins and stuff like that, because every time I'd even look at one, I'd get that kind of the memory of how I used to feel when I was kind of baking around the clock. And I didn't want to feel that way. But Tony had put some back up in the attic. So when I got the longan on me, he got them down. And you know what? Then I couldn't find, a flour was sold out everywhere. And funnily enough, I had to hijack Mammy Keys's, one of her orders from Super Value. So she ate the head off me for that as well. Why did they send me flour? Who? I didn't want flour. I didn't ask for flour. And I'd said, no, the flour is mine. And so after I got the flour, the longan had gone off me a bit, but they're all still standing by, you know, and I've got my cupcake little paper holders and all. I'm hoping it won't come at me too bad, because when I was doing it before, like, I could, you know, offload them onto the neighbours until I gave them all type 2 diabetes, and then I wasn't so popular. But at the moment, anything I bake, I'll have to eat myself, and that is actually incredibly attractive, but I'm not sure, you know, further down the road it would be good for me. So I haven't done it yet. And I mean, honestly, you know, putting my makeup on is my creative outlet at the moment.
You are listening to the Women's Podcast, brought to you by Green and Black's Organic Chocolate. Discover a different kind of dark.
I was thinking about mental health and stuff, and I know you were on Brezzy's podcast about that as well, and, you know, meditation and things. Are you finding anything is working? Or, because I think for anyone who has precarious mental health or is prone to feeling a bit vulnerable, this is a really tricky time. It's really difficult. Have you found any coping mechanisms?
I think a routine for me is important. Like, you know, there is no reason to go to sleep at 11 o'clock. You know, I can read through the night if I want, but I think it's, you know, because I've no reason to get up at the moment, but I think it's really important to kind of stick to go to sleep when it's dark, when it's nighttime for me, you know, and have a breakfast, a lunch and a dinner, things like that. And other things like keeping the house clean, like washing myself, you know, when I don't feel good. I mean, I hate washing myself at the best of times. Like, I absolutely hate water. It doesn't take much to make me say, ah, feck it, I won't today. But it's important, because when I do all of those things, I feel, I don't, it gives me a sense of kind of self-worth or something. A lot of people have been trying yoga. I will say the thing that you said earlier on about the origami and everything, that appalls me. Like, that actually, I am aghast to see people. Well, look, if people can do it, fair play. It's the people who don't do it and who feel incredibly unworthy because they're not. You know, it's those people who are thinking, hey, we've got all this time. We should do it. You know, we should write the play we were always going to write, or we should, learn how to be a yoga instructor online. And I think it's really important to remember, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. this has never happened to us before. This is a completely new, dislocating, shocking event for us. And for most of us, we've never lived through a war. You know, we have never experienced fear or that shocking sense that we are not actually in control. We've never experienced that before. I think we've always felt we've got technology, we've got our intelligence, we've got our this, that, and the other. We can choose how we want to live our lives. And suddenly, all of our power, all of our autonomy has been taken away. And it is scary. And it's kind of on a fundamental level, we're having to kind of recalibrate our relationship with the world, with power, with our frailty, you know, with the fact that we could get this virus. And that is very, very frightening. And then for people to come along and say, well, hey, you know, you've got all this downtime. Why don't you write a symphony? Or let's all learn Korean. Like, it's bullshit, you know. And like, I can barely get through the day without having two naps, even though I hate that word, I shouldn't have said it, without having two little sleeps. You know, and then for poor people to be feeling inadequate because they're not achieving, you know. So I really, really dislike hearing the boasty boasters saying they've learned. Look, I mean, if people have managed to learn something new, good for them, weirdo. But, you know, for those who are hearing this and think, well, I should be. Take the should out of it. You know, for anyone who is getting through the day without, I don't know, drinking their heads off or, you know, rolling around on the floor screaming, you know, you're already doing everything you can. So, Jesus, how did I get onto that rant?
No, it's good. I think as Jen Hogan just said, you've hit the nail on the head. That feeling of, I think there's a lot of people feeling inadequate, you know, like they're not doing all these things that you're supposed to be doing. And at the end of it, we're going to feel like, oh no, what did I achieve during the pandemic? It's just ridiculous.
For the love of God.
Yeah, the other thing is,
how can I achieve anything?
Although I say, I did spend 2 days learning Lover by Taylor Swift on the guitar, and I've done that. So,
yeah. You know. And if you enjoyed it and you felt able
to,
that's wonderful. It's the people who don't feel able, which is most of us, you know, which is me. Then we should allow ourselves to be afraid and tired. And, you know, I mean, my head is not working to optimum levels. Like, it's absolutely not. You know, it's slower to make connections. I'm far less articulate. You know, so how could I be learning something new? You know, because all of my energy is either going to scanning the horizon, watching out for danger, or kind of internalizing this new reality. All my energy has gone on both of those things. There's nothing left over for the Korean.
Yeah. Although it's interesting people's perspectives on this, because Ailish just texted there saying she's normally kind of anxious or can be prone to that. And she's finding this a very calming time. So it's interesting how it kind of changes for people, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, many of us lived very, very busy, stretched lives when there wasn't enough of us to go around. And when we are obliged to stay in our home, it brings other worries. But all that stress, that kind of quotidian stress, is removed. And that can only be a good thing. I mean, living in a perpetual state of high anxiety is horrendous. And when many of the causes of that are taken away, it's good.
So now the other thing is relationships, Marion, because there's people going to be talking about these corona divorces that are going to be happening. There's some people finding, like on the extreme end of it, we just did a podcast about the absolute terrible fact, maybe not surprising, but the fact that calls to women's aid and all of that are gone up, and there are people for whom staying home is the most unsafe option for them, and I just can't bear thinking about it. So there's that on that end. But there's also, I think, a lot of people stuck at home with their partners and not, or learning stuff about them perhaps, or not enjoying it as much, and are thinking, when this is over now. So I was just wondering how you're getting on.
Well, the thing is, you see, I've always worked from home.
Yeah.
Not always, but in the last 25 years or so. and so has himself. So in many ways, we haven't had that huge adjustment where we're suddenly kind of trapped in the house together, looking at each other, thinking, oh, my God, I hate you. You know, we always gave each other, we always worked in different rooms and, you know, we didn't kind of see each other until dinner time. And that kind of is kind of the same. I mean, I feel for him because, like, he's a great man for, like, going out and running the hills and, do you know, he's up and down mountains and loves it. He can't do that anymore. And he's taken to running the circumference of our two closed area. But mostly we're grand, you know. Definitely we are both narkier than usual. You know, it's I'm certainly on a much shorter fuse. He's very calm, but I think he's less calm than he would normally be. So, I mean, our adjustment hasn't been as severe as other people, I suppose. The impact hasn't been as brutal. But then you hear about the things, as you say, about the sex toys, and that's kind of nice to think that people are enjoying themselves. You know, fair play.
I have to give a shout out to Shauna Scott from sexshopper.ie. If anybody is thinking of experimenting or furthering their collection or any of that sort of thing, we have a very interesting segment on Monday where you can learn all about a lot of things I had never heard of, I have to say, Mary. But I'm obviously very sheltered. Yeah, you really need to check it out. Actually, I have to feel for the woman who just texted there. I don't know your name because I think it's Lat Looms is the name. It said that she's discovered her boyfriend likes to sing Bat Out of Hell a lot.
Oh, my God, that's awful. I'm so sorry for you. But Jesus Christ, what a shock. No. Sorry, I need a moment. Oh, my God. Maitland. Jesus Christ. I am so sorry to hear this. I really am. We're all here for you.
Listen, I think really could, this has been brilliant. I think for the first one, you can give us a like that if you think it's good so far. Like, you don't not do it because that would be terrible. Just do it anyway, even if you didn't like this one. We were going to ask if get a few questions. And I think in order to facilitate a few people, so we keep them quite kind of short and just questions rather than comments, because you can put your comments in the text thing, and we'll try and get Marion to answer as many as possible in this little short time we have left. Marion, this has been brilliant. You know what's been great? Because we sometimes go for club sandwiches, and we will again go for club sandwiches.
Yes, we will.
This has been great as well, just to see you and just to have the chat. So hands up who would really, really like to ask a question of Marion. We're all very shy. Oh, okay. Kate, are you now with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
This is brilliant. Thank you so much. I can't believe I'm just chatting to you guys. My question was to you, Marion, or else yourself, Roisin. Have you any nice, uplifting books that you've been reading that would, as someone said on the comments, would nourish your soul at these times?
Kate, have you read The Cazalet Chronicles by Elizabeth Jane Howard? There are 5 books. They were written, actually, I don't know when they were written, but they're about an English family. It's a family saga, but high-end family saga. Most people run screaming when they hear that word. They are the most compulsive, the most readable, they just really get into you. The characters are amazing. And, you know, because there are 5 books, you can absolutely disappear into them for a long time. A book that I love and I can't stop banging on about it is called Gravity is the Thing. And it's by an Australian writer called Jacqueline Moriarty. I find it's quirky, it's funny, it's a bit mad. But apart from the mad bits, it's very grounded and very real about relationships and love and, you know, family relationships. They're the ones that, for uplifting, they're the ones I'd recommend. Or just one other thing, E.M. Delafield, who wrote in the 30s, she wrote Diary of a Provincial Lady, and there's several in the series. They're gas. They're really gas. They're lighthearted. They're just, you know, observational comedy. They're really, really enjoyable. So I hope some of them help.
Mm. I'm going to say Nina Stibbe as well, Kate, because...
Oh, Nina Stibbe, of course. Oh. Yeah. Yes, start with Love, Nina, which is...
Yeah, Love, Nina. I haven't actually read that yet, Marion.
Oh, my God, that's my favourite.
Okay, cool. Well, she's brilliant too. So, and actually, sorry to plug it again, but on Monday we have a whole episode about lockdown reads and things, recommending all sorts of different on the women's podcast. So tune in for that. Okay, there was someone else very, very anxious. Was it Lorraine who really wanted to ask a question? Hi, Lorraine.
I suppose my question, Marion, is an age-old question that every single person who is writing, like yourself, will ask you. Can I ask you, what do you do when you're trying to, I suppose, get re-motivated or re-excited about something? How do you do that? How do you refocus yourself? I know.
Okay, Lorraine, so you've written part of a book, is that right?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And it's a while since you've worked on it.
It is, and the lockdown is like my opportunity. Like you're saying, okay. It's the time for dreams to come true. That's the way I'm looking at this. This is my...
All right. Well, yeah. I think, first of all, lower your expectations about dreams coming true. You know? No, seriously, because this is about surviving something horrific. This is not a holiday.
It's Saturday night. It's Saturday night. I'm talking to you. I've read all your books. And on Tuesday, it is my birthday. And I got this today from my niece. I don't know if you can see it, but this is the birthday card that I got.
That's gorgeous.
So I think I'm just full of love, excitement, and happiness.
All right. Cool. The first thing you do is you reread everything that you've written, and you try and reread it with a critical eye. You ask yourself, if I was a reader, if I had not written this, if I was a reader and I had just stumbled upon this, what would I think? Would it convince me in any way? You know, and you're going to have to be fairly brutal with yourself about it. And look at what you have, see what's worth keeping, and see, you know, and be harder with yourself about this, like junk what isn't working. And ask yourself what needs to happen. You know, is the character not fully formed? Is the plot not there? You know, what is the balance wrong? Is the tone not what you want? You know, ask yourself those critical questions. So be your own worst critic at the moment. And you'll know, like if you can be that honest and brave with yourself, you will know then what you need to do to go forward. And, you know, the fact that you have written plenty already is really excellent, because so many talk about doing it and never actually do. So I really wish you well. And, you know, if progress is slow, remember global pandemic, you know, not a sabbatical, not a holiday, global pandemic, you know, so go easy on yourself. But, you know, easy does it, but do it. So I really wish you well.
Right. Thanks. Excellent. I just want to put a shout out for Emer's very large wine glass. Like, it's the biggest wine glass I've ever seen. So I just showed it up there, Emer. Very good. Anybody else want to ask a question before we have to go? I see my sister Katie's just joined. She's amazing. Shout out to my sister Katie. She's fixing her hair there. Looking good, Katie. Sinead. Okay, so Sinead. Sinead, what would you like to ask Marion?
Hi, Marion. It's a similar follow-up question, actually. When you're talking about the being critical of your own work and going back and reading it again, I just wondered, how many rewrites do you typically do on a novel, or does it vary? How many drafts do you do before it's ready to go?
Okay, I only do one draft. I'm not like the people who do like one speedy, crappy first draft, and then, you know, a better second draft, and then a more polished third draft. I write really, 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 really slowly. And everything is fully formed before I can move on. And then I might get a bit further on and I realize more things need to change. So that's how I work. You know, I really, there is no wrong way to write a book. I really wouldn't get hung up on drafts and how many other people do. You know, write your book the way Sinead wants to write her book. You know, like there are stupid rules, and I hate to hear them, because people feel like they're doing it wrong. You know, it doesn't matter how you do it. You know, you can write in any kind of, you can mess up your chronology, you can move things around, you know, it doesn't matter. There are no rules, so long as write it. And you know, closer to the end, you can knit things together and you'll have a better sense of what needs to stay. So for me, the idea of several drafts and how many is the optimum amount is is in no way helpful. And I hope that helps you. It doesn't matter. Just write it.
Brilliant. Has anybody else got a question? We've got probably time for one or two more. Oh, Emer with the big wine glass. Okay, I'm going to unmute you, Emer, and you can walk away there.
Thanks, Roisin. Marion, I just want to, for the sake of our lives, I mean, it's awful and it's wonderful what's happening, right? That's what I hear you saying. So for the sake of making the most of this situation, how long do you think it needs to last for us to hook onto something that makes it even something that's a little bit long lasting for us before we revert to type? Thanks.
I haven't a clue. My God, that's such a huge question. And I know nothing. Like I'm just a citizen trying to get through. And I think I was going to say, you know, the pandemic is what everybody wants to make it for themselves. But I really don't think we should be regarding it as any way as an opportunity for anything. I feel that's a very late capitalist way of looking at it. You know, that we need to be constantly productive and that every negative has to be turned into a positive. I think it's up to every individual to mind themselves and to get through this incredibly frightening, unprecedented time in the way that keeps themselves safe. And thinking about, will our world be changed for the better or for the worse at the end of it? I don't think that's necessary. I don't think it's helpful to look at it. The world will be what it will be, and human beings will be what they will be. I don't think that this is an opportunity. I really don't. I mean, I think an awful lot of people have already lost their jobs. You know, people have been they're in awful fear. And I think it is just down to every single one of us to survive as best we can and to be as kind to as many other people as we can be. For me, that is the only aspiration that I have for me through this time. So I'm sorry that I can't give you anything better. I think we should keep it small and keep it kind.
I know it resonates with me, and I'm sure with all of you. This has been really great. Just such a lovely thing. It's really weird, isn't it, that we can actually connect in some way. And I've been looking at all your comments as you've been coming in. Such beautiful comments, such interesting ones. I love the one about the fact that you can order flour from the Polish bakeries. So I don't know who said that, but it's a great idea. Because I have a friend who's constantly trying to score flour. Not mentioning any names, Jerry Godley there, if he's listening. we'll maybe just have one more. And I just, before we have our last question, I would just like to say some of you are subscribers to the Irish Times, and you probably know this is a very difficult time for us in the newspaper, that all of us are working outside the building but still producing the newspaper, and we have so many new subscribers, which we're just so grateful for. And I just wanted to say that we really appreciate it, and that we're going to keep doing our best to bring you all the news that's, you know, not fake news, and give you all the information about this virus and this situation. And also to mention that we have a daily podcast called Confronting Corona, which gives you all the statistics and all the information if you want to tune into that. Because I know a lot of people don't want to hear it all the time, but also people do have a need. So just thanks to all our subscribers who are here. And just if anyone's thinking of subscribing, we'd be very grateful for that too, because it's such an uncertain time. And we hope that we're bringing you good stuff in the Irish Times. So that's the end of my my little ad there. But give us one more question and then we'll hit the road, and maybe you'll have some more wine at home or whatever you're going to do. I'm not going to judge you, whatever you're doing at home on a Saturday night. Anyone else want to ask? Olivia, have you got a question from California over there? Yes. Okay, Louise. Thank you, Louise. Go on.
Well, do you think people will want to revisit this? Do you think they'll want to see movies about this? Do you think they want to read books about it? Or do you think they'll just want to extinguish it from memory and go on? What do you think? I know I don't want to ever revisit it.
I don't either. I mean, I think it would be such a dull book or film for most people, and incredibly traumatic, you know, if we're talking about frontline workers. You know, I don't want to know. You know, somebody said to me the other day, like, have you thought about writing about it? And I was like, Jesus Christ, you know, why would anyone want to? Like, it's so unpleasant. No, like, once it's over, I can't imagine looking back with rose-tinted glasses at all. You know, I'll be re-embracing normality with kind of such such fervor. Personally speaking, no, not for me. I don't know how other people will feel, though.
Okay. Right. Well, Marion, I'll leave the final word to you because you are our special guest this evening. And I'm really grateful because I know you are tired and you are sad and you're not totally yourself, as many of us aren't completely ourselves. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come talk to us.
Because thank you to everyone.
But you supported the Irish Times Women's Podcast so much over the years, and we're really, really grateful, especially at this time. So leave us with a bit of final word, no pressure, but what are your final thoughts?
Yeah. Please remember the gravity of what you're living through. Just be nice to yourself. You know, have lovely things to eat. Have as much wine as you can get. You know, and try and just get through each day. Like, keep it in the day, I suppose. And keep your distance. Wash your hands. Look after your neighbours. And, you know, and this is going to be over. You know, one day, you know, you'll go to yoga classes again. And you'll hug your niece, and you'll go swimming in Lahinch, and you'll go into Brown Thomas's in the Sale, and like all of those things, that time will come again. And also, I suppose, bear in mind small local businesses. You know, like, so many small local businesses are really struggling, and there is an initiative coming, I think, on Monday, maybe Tuesday, where people can buy vouchers and things for, like, their local hairdressers, their local cafes, you know, their local small businesses that don't have any kind of cushion to survive this. So if you could keep them, you know, taxi companies, people like that, if you could keep them kind of in your thoughts, you know, so that we can get back to normal as quickly as possible, and that everybody, well, as many people as possible, will still have their heads above water. Thank you, Roisin. Thank you, all.
I really realise I had one final question myself, yes. Marion. Are you still fancying Simon Harris?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I am. I think he's just him there with his little grey hair now, you know? Like, it's hard for him, you know, and he's been so sweet. Yeah, look, I know he's a blue shirter. I know he's a Fine Gael. I know that they don't care about us. But he seems to. Like, I have drunk the Simon Harris Kool-Aid. I really have. Please don't judge me. Are you still watching him, Roisin?
I couldn't possibly comment.
Oh, all right. Okay. She does. Yeah.
Marion, that's a lovely way to end it. Thank you so much. And thanks to all of you. You've been a fantastic audience. I can't believe it's worked, that it didn't go wrong, that we all knew how to do the audio and the video, and what an achievement for all of us. So thank you very much. Please listen to the Women's Podcast. Please buy Marion's books because they're flipping amazing. Please support the Irish Times. It's really difficult. And thank you all. Let's have a big round of applause with the hands thing. Yeah.
Woo!
Bye.
Thanks very much to Marion Keyes and to all our guests on our big Saturday night in on Zoom, and of course to our sponsor Green and Blacks. Remember, you can subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Spotify, Acast and all good podcast apps. If you want to get in touch, we love hearing from you. We're on Twitter and Facebook at IT Women's Podcast, or email us on thewomenspodcast@irishtimes.com. The podcast is produced by me, Roisin Ingle, and by Suzanne Brennan, with JJ Vernon on sound. Until next time, thank you very much for listening.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.